That's cool, isn't it? Thanks, Taylor, for making that. That was a year-end video. Did you notice that we just went through 12 months of the year? Pretty cool. All right, I need you to stand with me. We're going to read some scripture this morning, and then when I talk, you can sit down. But this is God's Word, and today we're going to be just reading two pieces of scripture that we want to kind of meditate on. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 8 says this, "For physical training is of some value." Did you know that? Physical training is of some value. "But godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." Philippians 1, 9 and 10 says this, "And this is my prayer," Paul says, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is the best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, or the day of Messiah. Our Lord God Almighty, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we give you praise for this day. We're so grateful, Lord. The rain was awesome yesterday. We understand the rain's coming tomorrow, and yet, God, today is just gorgeous. Thank you that this Sunday we could drive here without rain and see the beauty of your creation, the blue sky and the beautiful green hills. Lord, it's a brand new year, and we give you praise. We count our blessings this year. We love you, Jesus. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would come upon this congregation, this Jesus community this morning. I ask, Lord, that you would open our eyes that we might see this morning. Touch our ears, God, that we would hear within our hearts your voice to us. God, can we leave this place saying we met with God today? This is our prayer. We come, Lord, to worship this morning. We come, Lord, to seek and to ask and to knock. We come, Lord God, to discern your ways and to understand you better. So, Lord, help us now, we ask, in Jesus' mighty name. And all those who love God would say, amen. Amen. So, good morning. Last Sunday, I had a great sermon all ready to go on Psalm 23. And we had planned the sermon on Thursday, and Pastor Graham and Pastor Vince. And Friday morning, my nose started to run. And I said, I think I can handle this. It's not going to be bad. I texted Pastor Graham and Pastor Vince. I said, I think I'm getting a cold, but I'm 80% sure I can make this on Sunday. And Pastor Vince, in his great wisdom, said there's no stinking way he's going to make it on Sunday because I just had this cold. And so as I lived in a world of denial on Friday and Saturday, Sunday morning, I woke up with my nose running, and I was praying, Jesus, you healed Peter's mother-in-law of a fever, and you could heal me right now, and so I could come, and by 6:30, that was it, and I said, dude, oh, game over, and I texted Pastor Vince and Pastor Graham, and I said, guys, I am not going to make it. Pastor Vince has already knew that, and I've already prepared the sermon. With your notes, Pastor Frank, it's a solid outline, Pastor Frank. I've already prepared your sermon. I've been working it all day Saturday and Sunday, and I got this, and I'm just feeling like God just needed to get me out of the way because the anointed one was supposed to speak last week with Pastor Vince, and he did a pretty good job. It was awesome. You know, I look at stuff like that, and I just say, God is in the house. The Lord is in the house, and it's funny how God just, it's like we plan, we prepare, and the Lord's just above it all. He's above it all. And I just give him praise. So I want to tell you a story. I'm a police chaplain, Irvine. I love that. I just had, by the way, Pastor, our police chief and I went out to dinner, and we went to a movie last night, or Thursday night, and we had a great time. Did you know 5 police officers died last week? Did you catch that? It's unbelievable. God bless these people that protect us. I was at the department between Christmas and New Year's, and there's a really neat brother in the Lord who I love dearly, and he came up to me. We were in the hallways there, and he shared with me that he's just been elected as an elder of his church. And then he began to share with me that at his church that he's at, that they don't have a pastor right now, and there's a lot of strife in the church, and so a lot of the elder board has left, and he's talking to me, and he was sharing with me this, and then I just grabbed him and started praying over him. Dear Lord God, I just lift before you your servant. God, you've called him to this. With good leadership, you're going to fix your church. And there's a rumor out that police officers don't cry. It's a lie. My brother just, you know, kind of welled up a little bit. It's going to be a hard year for him. He just got, you know, he's their dude. So I meet with a bunch of pastors in the city once a month. We get together here, and we just talk about things. And I have to tell you, when I'm talking with them, they share what's going on in their church, and I'm going, man, I remember going through that. And then they share about this, the next one, and it's kind of like a pastor support group. Is that good to know? And it's funny because as I'm listening to them, I told Pastor Vince, I'm like, I get tired of going. It's depressing. But he goes, it's my turn, I say, man, I want to share with you, man, actually, my church did this, I went through that, but our church is doing really good right now. To God be the glory. This church is blessed. I want to say this morning, this is a healthy church. It's a spirit-filled church. God is moving in this church. We are in a good place as a Jesus community for 19. I'm in a good place. I'm healthy. Dr. Carr, do you see any hives on my face? Do you know that those are all caused by stress? I'm healthy. I'm loving Jesus more than ever. Our staff is healthy. How about Pastor David 2 weeks ago when he spoke? Were you guys here for that? You know, that was his first sermon he ever gave here at this church. And our staff is doing well. Our leadership team is healthy. Our ministry staff is healthy. Our leadership, our growth group leadership and Bible study leaders, these people are godly, healthy people. Our volunteers, people that are playing up here, love Jesus. They love Jesus. All our volunteers in our church, they're awesome. Growth groups, we're a healthy church. We're a healthy church, and we just give God praise for that. Our college group's doing great. Stephanie's doing awesome. Jared's rocking with that one. There's just so many things. We have so many blessings. When you talk about we need to count your blessings, you guys need to count your blessings. I'm counting my blessings. Our church is a healthy church for 2019. And God did amazing things in our church last year. Do you know, we had a great year of people meeting Jesus. We had a great year of people knowing Jesus deeper. We had a great year of people following Jesus more and with more commitment last year. Last year, we saw God take people's sins away as they accepted Jesus' work on the cross for their lives. We saw people grow in their faith as they were publicly baptized last year. We saw prodigals come back to the Lord last year. We saw God heal marriages last year. We saw God give people victory in addictions last year. We saw God answering prayers. We saw God giving courage and strength to his people in their darkest hours last year. We saw God move in our church last year in awesome ways. And we had fun, right, with a video. We as a church had a blast last year, meeting Jesus and knowing Jesus, following Jesus. People that were from this church went to Israel with me last year. We're going to go in 2020 again, go walk in the land of Jesus with me. It's an awesome experience. We had a blast last year. And last year, we did new things. The Learning Lab preschool was new, and it's awesome. And we're so grateful that we can partner with this preschool. That's all new. Our MOPS is up and running. It's new, and it's doing awesome. We did Trunk or Treat last year. We did something new for Easter, right? Or for Halloween, per se, with the fall festival. Our children's musical did something new where they raised money for these orphanage in Mexico, and then we bought 34 brand new pairs of shoes. Our children and their deal, it was awesome. Last year, did you guys enjoy the tree lighting ceremony? That was new. Wasn't that awesome? Wasn't that amazing? I was sharing with our police chief. I said, he goes, man, Frank, what's going on at your church? I told him about the tree lighting, and he says, man. He goes, you need to tell me that. I want to go next year. I'm like, well, we were just kind of giving it a petri dish, but yeah, you need to come. It was awesome. We did a lot of good things last year. New staff with Pastor David, and he's doing great. And we just give God praise for that. With Millette and Ellie that are working in the office, it was totally the Lord. You need to hear that story at some point. You know, even PJ moving and Laylot moving is a good thing. God sending them to Thailand, it's a good thing. We praise God. I'm selfish. I want them here. We're all, anyone selfish like me? But God is doing a work, and we just give God praise. As people are going, Pastor Frank, what are we going to do? I've asked Josh just to kind of hold down the fort and lead us in worship here between now through Easter till we get a handle on that. And Josh does a good job. Am I right? Brother Josh, do a good job leading? We're going to be fine. PJ was our missions pastor. Well, Sonny is running our missions department, our missions committee. And we're going to be doing all our missions this year as last year. We're going to be going to Mexico missions. In the summer, we're going back to the Philippines again. PJ is going to meet us there. In the fall, we're going to hit Mexico. I mean, we're fine. It's all good. It's going to be okay. It's all good. Do you know what? Praise God for this. I got a phone call from the guy that does, Tom Ells does our finances. He called me up. He said, Pastor Frank, he goes, we made $108 last year as a church. I said, what? He goes, income and expenses, when it's all said and done, we paid all our bills, we made $108. And Pastor Vince went, praise the Lord, you know, and I'm like, hallelujah. It's good when we pay our bills, right? And then I get a phone call later on the week, says, wait, I made a clerical error. We made $6,838 after our bills were paid. Praise God. You know what? Thank you for giving to the Lord. Every time someone at this church meets Jesus, knows Jesus more deeply, follows Jesus more committedly, every time we see someone, when God does amazing things, it's because of you and your faithfulness of giving unto the Lord. I want to thank you for giving unto Jesus. It's awesome. It's because of your faithfulness, God uses that to change people's lives. You need to know that. Praise the Lord. We're a healthy church. We're a good church. I'm so grateful for you. Last year was a good year. What does God have in store for this year? We're going to do some fun things this year. Next week, we're going to begin a brand new series called Philippians, a Letter to a Healthy Church. In this book, the Apostle Paul wrote a lot of the New Testament. There's a church in the New Testament that he loved, and he called it, it was basically a healthy church, and he wrote a letter to them. It's called the Book of Philippians, or the Book of, not Philip, yeah, Philippi, Philippians. Yeah, we're in. Good job, Frank. Use your seminary degree, son. We're going to go through the Book of Philippians starting next week, and it's going to be awesome. Once we finish that series, we're going to do a series called 24. Do anyone remember the TV series 24? We're going to go through the last 24 hours of Jesus' life heading into Easter. We're going to have fun as we kick off this year. Growth groups are starting up this week. I got to tell you this. Sign up for a small group. Our small groups here is key. Discipleship happens in meaningful relationships. We're going to be studying this beautiful book of Philippians on a Sunday morning in the church, and you're going to meet in your growth groups, and you're just going to stir it in. You're going to read. By the time you're done, you're going to read through the whole book of Philippians and study it, not just on a Sunday morning, but in a community of people. If you're not in a small group, they're launching this week. I encourage you to join up, sign up, and be a part of one. It's going to be a great, fun year. This year, we're going to do some different things. By the way, we're struggling doing a family camp this year. Our kids' schools keep starting earlier, and we can't get into camps to go coincide with our kids, and we just said, So we're going to do some different stuff this year. We're not doing a family camp. Our youth are still going to a summer camp. We're not. But we're doing some other stuff as a church. We're going to be doing a marriage enrichment weekend in February. I love doing marital counseling, especially when it's pre. I struggle when it's post, but man, I think marriage tune-ups are important. I love healthy marriages, don't you? what we're doing is we're going to go down to the Carlsbad Inn. And Cindy and I and Mike and Pat, we're going to pour into you guys and your marriages. If you're here today, every marriage needs a tune-up. Every marriage needs a tune-up. Do you guys change oil in your car? Do you know if you don't that you're in big trouble? You have to give maintenance to your marriages. We're going to do a marriage enrichment weekend. Carlsbad, beautiful ocean, the whole nine yards. We're going to have a blast. 20 couples, I think is what we could take, 25 at the most, sign up. It's Saturday, Sunday. It's going to be awesome. Something new we're going to do this year. You know, we're going to do an apologetics conference at our church this year, sometime in August or maybe in early, maybe September, where we're going to just totally do an apologetics conference. What does that mean? Apologetics means give a defense. And we're going to have people, there's people in our church that are just sharper than tacks that we're going to be just doing a weekend apologetics conference. It's going to be awesome. It's coming. There's people asking, Pastor Frank, will you do a teaching through the book of Revelation? Has anyone ever read the book of Revelation? Interesting book, isn't it? We figured it would be a lot better to dissect that in sections in a Sunday school. My buddy Mike Cranford taught Christian Thought 2 at Biola University. He taught the book of Revelation at Biola. $800 a unit, 3-unit class, added up. You can go for free. What do you think of that? Well, we're going to be doing modular teaching classes, just like next week you guys need to sign up with Claffy. He's going to be teaching on just apologetics, like why does God allow evil in the world? Great questions. We're going to be doing all kinds of fun stuff this year. We're going to have a blast. We're going to have a blast. We're a healthy church. Jesus, thank you for this healthy church. God, we're grateful that as we enter 19, you are with us. And God, there's no perfect church, but we're healthy, and we give you praise for it, Jesus. We ask, God, that you would continue to help us to be healthy and to press in deeper to you. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people says, hey, when you see a person like this running down the street, how should you pray for them physically? When you see a person like this running down the beach, how should you pray for them physically? When you see a spiritually healthy person walking well with the Lord, how should you pray for them spiritually? The Apostle Paul, 2,000 years ago, wrote a letter to a healthy church at Philippi. And this was his prayer for that church. You ready? And Paul says this, Philippians 1:9. And this is my prayer that your love may abound more and more in knowledge. This is my prayer that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. What is his prayer? What's his prayer for that healthy church? More. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't stop. Go deeper. Pray more. Do more. Meet Jesus more. Know him more. Follow him more passionately. Don't slow down. Keep going. Do more. You know, it's funny. Every fall, our leadership team gets together and we pray, and some of us fast. And as we seek God, and we ask God, where are you at work in our church? And where do you plan on going? What are you doing? And where are you moving? And we pray for like a week or two, and we get together in a room, and we look at each other, and we begin reviewing the year, and we look at each other and say, do you sense God? Is God saying anything to you? And people begin to share, and it was so cool. Our leadership was like, I'm just sensing God telling us, keep going. Do more. I'm like, that sounds like a prayer from Paul. Keep going. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Where do we seek the knowledge of God? If you want to grow in knowledge, in spiritual knowledge, where do you go? Anyone know? If you want to seek knowledge, where do you plan on getting God's knowledge? Right? I pray that you did New Year's resolutions. I pray that you spent some time evaluating your life, assessing where you've been and where you are and where you'd like to go. I pray that as you were doing resolutions for the year, that one of your resolutions that's at the top of your list is that you want to know Jesus more. You want to follow him more. You want to commit to him more. I pray that that was at the top of your list. Here's a great verse. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the future life. People, physical discipline and training is important. Do I hear an amen? It's true. You dwell in a beautiful body that God's given you, and you're supposed to take care of it. And you should. You should eat healthy. I mean, physical discipline is good for you. You look better, right? Going to the gym helps you lose weight and get muscle tone. You look good. You're more healthy when you exercise daily. It strengthens your heart, lowers your blood pressure, helps you lower your cholesterol, may lower your risk of developing heart disease or having a stroke. It's good. People, when you go to the gym, you're mentally healthy. Doctors state that regular exercise actually helps treat depression. But let me say this. The scripture says that physical training is good. You should do it. It has benefit. But seeking godliness is more important. This is more important than the gym. Because this will give you blessing in this life and the next. Hate to tell you this, as much as you take care of that body of yours, it's going to wear out. It's finite. You can work on it as much as you want to, but you're just fighting the inevitable. This is eternal. God's gym. Paul says, I pray that you guys get more. You grow more. Man, you're doing so well. Just keep going, man. And grow more and more knowledge. And may with your knowledge come loving people more, following, loving God more, right? This book is a blessing in your life. The scriptures are a blessing in your life. We're a healthy church, and to God be the glory. And I'm telling you as a pastor, from our leadership team, we believe God wants to say to you, keep going this year. Lean in. Go deeper. Seek him more. Know him more. Follow him more. You're doing fine. Go deeper. Seek the Lord. Don't give up. Don't let go. Lean in. Do more. Commit. Resolve. Be repetition. Go to the gym. Do you guys like going to the gym? I hate it. I go 3 days a week. Got to do it. It's important. You commit to it. It's the right thing to do. You commit. You press in. Commit and resolve to read God's word more this year than you did last year. Is that a good goal for this year? Because this thing's good for you. I'm going to ask you as a church to commit to read this book more this year than you did last year. Because if you read this book more this year, you're going to know godliness more. You'll know the heart of God more. And the more you know God, God makes you healthy because of this. His spirit flows from this. Do you know what this is? This is the word of God. Take notes this morning. right there in your worship notes. Take this out. Write this down. We get knowledge of God from the Holy Scriptures. We get knowledge of God from the Holy Scriptures. I was just talking with my son the other day. He goes to school in San Diego. And we were talking about the Bible. Do you know what this is? This is a library of 66 books. Not one book. Do you know that Bible is Latin for library? This is a library of 66 books written between of a span of about 1,500 years from Moses to the Apostle John. 1,500 years span. People, how old's our country? How old's this country we're living in? 200 and some years? 1,500 years, this book. It is written by over 40 different people. 40 different people on 3 different continents. Can you name them? Middle East, Egypt, and Europe. Right? It's written in 3 different languages. Do you know what they are? Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. 40 different authors, 3 different continents, in 3 different languages. Think about it. The writers were kings, statesmen, priests, prophets, a tax collector, a physician, a tent maker, and a fisherman. If we were to get all these people up here and stand them up, do you know that they would have views as diverse as yours in this room? 1,500 years, a king and a fisherman up here. What do you think their worldviews would be? But brother and sister, together, those people produced a volume that is a marvelous work of unity in its doctrine, in its historical viewpoints, its ethics, and its expectations. In the Bible, take notes on this. There's a consistent view of God, of mankind, of sin, of salvation, of a coming Messiah, and a kingdom. 1,500 years, 40 different authors, 3 different continents, 3 different languages, and they say the same thing. How can that be? How can that be? There's numerical consistency throughout this book. 40 is the number of testing, right? 40 days and 40 nights with Noah. The people of Israel stayed 40 years in the wilderness. Jesus was tested for how many days, people? 40, right? 12 is the number of governance. There's 12 tribes of Israel. How many disciples did Jesus get? 12. How does the Bible say the same consistent thing throughout this span of time? It's the miracle of Scripture. There is no other book on earth as this. How does it do what it does? I mean, you think about it, people. In Genesis, there's a promise through the Jewish people, first book of the Bible, that from Abraham, one would come that would bless all the families of the earth. That's Moses. And then we read in Revelation with John that this person has come, and he was slain on a cross. And with his blood, he purchased for God people from every nation, tribe, and tongue. How does the Bible do what it does? Take notes. The Scriptures are from the mind of, guess, God. Write that down. Peter says this. 1 Peter 1, 20-21. But know this first of all, says the fisherman, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. But for no prophet was ever made by an act of human will. No prophecy was ever made by an act of human will. Do you realize how difficult it would be for me to tell you what's going to be happening 5 years from now next Tuesday and be accurate? How can I do that? But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Peter says, why this is so miraculous is that the people that wrote this was moved by God. That's how they can do what they do. The Apostle Peter acknowledges that people had a part in writing the Scriptures. Men spoke, there's no doubt about it, but what makes the Bible different from all other books, that in their writing, in their speaking, the biblical authors was moved by God. That's awesome. This book, moved by God. The Greek word is pharaoh, moving. There's a great story in the book of Acts, Acts 27:15. Paul was on a ship, and the ship was trying to sail to Rome because he was in trouble. He was under house arrest. He's going to see Caesar. And as he was sailing, he was heading around Malta, and the ship sails. They got in a huge storm, and the sails broke, and the ship just began moving at the course of the wind. Pharaoh. The ship still was a ship, but it was being moved along by something else. It's the same word that Peter uses to describe the human authors. They're still human, but God's moving in them, driving them. Every word, everything that they say is from God as the ship is just driven along. And that's how prophecy can happen. That's how Isaiah 53 can happen. People, when I think about the prophecy of this book, it drives me to my knees. When I look at this book, this is the most amazing book written on human planet Earth. This thing does stuff that's unbelievable. It's the miracle of the Bible. When you think of the Scriptures, they're from God. And God is speaking to you in them. You know what you should do this year is read this book. That's the one I want. You should read this book more. That's the Paul. That's the prayer of the Apostle Paul. More and more. You're doing fine. You're healthy. More. Say it with me. Say more. More. Did you read the Word last year? How many people read the Bible last year? Raise your hand. Did you just read one day? Read it more than you did last year. Commit to it. Study it. More. Listen to this. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching. What am I doing this morning, right? For rebuking. Hey, if your behavior needs rebuke, it comes from the Word of God, right? Correcting and training in righteousness. Here. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture is God-breathed. Could you all just take a deep breath with me? Breathe in. You breathe out. That's what the Scripture says, how God breathed the Word of God. All Scripture is God-breathed. God exiles His words here. Divine breath. Divine breath. You want to take notes this morning? You need to write this down. Note number 7. You ready? The Bible is awesome. 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 There's no writing like it on planet Earth. It's miraculous. Stir the Scriptures deep within you this year. And as you do, you'll know more of God. you'll understand the heart of God and the mind of God. Scriptures are spiritual. They'll blow you away. We believe for this year, God is telling us just do more as a church. The Lord wants you to know that you're a healthy church. You're spiritually healthy. There's good people here. We're doing fine. You know what? You have friends that need this church. You have neighbors that need a healthy church. There are people on your street, people you work with, that need Jesus this year. You should bring them. We're in a healthy place, and we're having a blast. What God is telling us, we believe, is keep going. Do more. More. As a church, you as an individual, do more. Just seek God more. Meet Jesus more. Know him more. Follow him more. Do more. And you'll be healthy. He's the one that makes you healthy. The closer you get to him, the more healthy you are. The more you have peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. The more you're with Jesus. And I'm talking about Jesus. The more that you seek, ask, and knock, he's there in the mystery. And Jesus transforms people's lives. Look at you. Look at you. Look at me. Jesus wants you to be healthy. He came for you. And this is my prayer, Paul says. And we'll be studying this as we study the book of Philippians next week. Paul writes to this church and he says, man, when I think of you, I'm not thinking about Galatia. They are so messed up. They've got theological issues beyond belief. I'm not thinking about the church in Corinth. They are, they just exacerbate me. When I think of Philippi, you guys just bring me joy. You're just a healthy church. And he writes this letter to him. And in the very beginnings, he just says, man, keep going. What you guys are doing, keep going. This is my prayer that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. More. Say it one more time with me. Say it with me. Ready? 1, 2, 3. More. We want more. More and more. That's the challenge. It's the WCC challenge for you this year. More. Read God's word more this year than you did last year. Study it more this year than you did last year. By the way, I do want to say this. We were talking about this in our, can you guys hold this up for me? So on Thursday, I get together with the pastor of the church, and we're walking through this. I said, hey guys, if you could, Pastor Vince, Pastor Graham, Pastor David, if you could talk to the church, what are some things that you've been reading that helps you go more? Pastor Graham every year reads Robert Murray McChaney's The Bible Reading Plan. As a matter of fact, this is Pastor Graham's Bible reading plan. He reads through the Bible every year, and he's made copies of these. How many copies you got, Pastor Graham? As many as you want out in the foyer. If you want to, if you've never read through the Bible, this should be the year you read the Bible. Here's a plan. You follow this plan, you'll read through the Bible by the end of the year. Pretty cool, right? Pastor Vince loves The Bible in 1 Year by Nikki Gumbel. You can go online. You can see that one, okay? Morning and Evening Devotions by Charles H. Spurgeon. Both Pastor David and Pastor Graham read these. 365 Days with Spurgeon is a great devotional. Just the ideas for you to read. They're on your notes, right? Streams in the Desert is a great one. Draw the Circle devotional by Mark is awesome. Day by Day with Billy Graham. There's so many Bible study tools that are out there. If you're looking for something, maybe you're just looking for a daily devotional, or maybe you want to read through the Bible in a year, we're here to help, man. How many people read their Bible on a Bible app? How many people read with just the good old, right, look at that, yeah? I do both. I'm in a Bible app, the YouVersion, I believe it's called. It's a great Bible app. When you go in there, devotionals, they've got all these devotionals. You can find them. It rocks. It's good stuff. The Bible. Can I ask you as a church to commit to consecrate yourself to God this year? Second Sunday, 2019. Can you commit yourself to the Lord this year? God, I commit myself to you. I consecrate myself to you. I want to know you more this year. You know what's interesting? When you read Philippians, the Apostle Paul says, I want to know him more. What do you mean you want to know him more? You met him on the road to Damascus, you're right in hand. He says, I want more. I want to know him more. Do you want to know Jesus more? You want to lean, you say, I've met him, he's cool. No, you want to know him more. You commit to knowing him more. Would you close your eyes, and with no one else looking at you, would you just lift your hands before the Lord this morning? God, we hold on to nothing. We hold on to nothing. We commit to you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are committed to us so much so that you would die on a cross. You are committed to us so much so that you would leave heaven and come to earth as a child born in Bethlehem, that you would be raised in Nazareth. At the age of 30, you would leave carpentry and you'd become the Messiah, the Son of the living God, that would die on a cross for our sins to make us spiritually healthy before a holy God. You are committed to us, Jesus. Lord, we commit ourselves to you this year. We want to know you more, Jesus. We take the prayer of the Apostle Paul to heart, that we want to know you more and more. We want to keep going, pressing in deeper, Jesus. You're the one that makes us healthy. God, you're the one that gives us courage and strength. You're the one that breaks chains and heals bodies and sets captives free. Jesus, we want more of you, less of us and more of you. More of you, Jesus. More of you, Jesus. There's no one like you. There's no one else for us, none but Jesus, crucified to set us free. We want you, Jesus. No one like you. We lean into you this year. God, fill our lives and help us to know you more, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Is that your prayer? We're going to sing. This is a beautiful song, second Sunday of this year. No one but Jesus. This is our prayer. We're going to sing this song. I'm going to ask again, if you're here this morning and you just need a prayer in your life, we're going to be singing two songs of worship. And if you're here this morning and you need prayer in your life, the Bible says to come and seek out the leaders of the church and let them pray over you and lay hands on you. And we're going to do that. I'm going to ask for Mike and Pat to come up and stand with me, and Pastor Graham and BJ, and my wife, Cinda, up in the balcony. We've got Pastor Vince. We've got the Chows that are up there. If you're here this morning and you need God in your life, you need God to do something, you need someone to pray for you, then we'll pray for you this morning. Our faith is not just an intelligent faith. It's a supernatural faith. We saw Jesus heal people last year. He's awesome. Maybe you're here today and you just need someone to pray with you. Then we're here to pray with you. I want you to pray this song we're about to sing. Jesus, Jesus, we say your name. Jesus, we honor your name this morning. Jesus, we worship your name. Spirit of God, fall upon this place. Touch your people for your glory in your most holy name.